Bitcoin's ticking away, and the governments are terrified of it. Don't make any mistake, folks. They understand Bitcoin. Do you not think for a minute Senator Warren in America, John Swinney in Scotland, Rishi Sunak? So they know. They understand it. They're just trying to work out, because they can't kill it off, they're trying to work out how to sort of nudge it along in such a way where they can have some form of ownership, some form of charge, some form of custody over it. And that's the danger. Hi everyone, it's the Orange Pill Pilot here. And unfortunately, I'm starting this brand new podcast in 2023 without Jordan. Jordan is not well. However, we're going to crack on. He set it all up for me as normal. And we're going to crack on with some interesting topics this morning. I think it's going to make you think. I'm also going to give you some predictions. Bum, 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 bum. So, welcome to the Bitcoin Collective Podcast, your journey into Bitcoin, side money and macroeconomics with me, Jim, going solo. Down in Acapulco. I think you can tell that I'm actually quite chirpy at the beginning of 2023. And I look back literally 2 weeks ago and it's as if the world was ending. Stock markets were down. Bitcoin was dead. It was dying, of course. It's always going to die in bear markets. We get that. And I thought, gosh, where's this all going to go? And all of a sudden, there's been a few green candles. All the influencers are coming back. All this crypto. These crypto people are doing all these charts where they show the Bitcoin price rising up to $250,000 in the next few months. It's like, brilliant. Anything to get followers and likes. Anyway, you wake up and you crack on and you think, what has changed? Well, Bitcoin hasn't changed. It's just the same. It's blocks are being made every 10 minutes. We had on January the 3rd, we had the 14th anniversary of Bitcoin and that first Genesis block. And I get all that. And it's just been ticking along. Bitcoin's monetary policy hasn't changed. One Bitcoin still equals one Bitcoin. It's still hugely decentralized. No CEO, no shareholders, no board of directors, no marketing department, no Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee. That's a joke. That's a joke, isn't it? The Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee. A bunch of fat bankers sitting there making as much money as they can, telling everyone they're not due a pay rise while they allowed inflation to go crazy. And these are the people that walk about in grey pinstripe suits that you are told to respect. Right? They've got a pinstripe suit and he went to Oxford or Cambridge. He goes to the royal family's do every now and then, and he's got a posh voice, right? Bollocks. Absolute nonsense. And this is the year when I invite you all to wake up and have a look, smell the coffee and have a look around at who's actually running this country. It's interesting that I haven't watched a documentary on Harry and Meghan. I've purposely not watched it because I don't want to really like them. But I'm not going to watch it. However, all over the media today, Prince Harry's on it. It's like Prince Harry's going for it. He's going to bring down the monarchy. This is it. This is what we've all been waiting for. All the dirty secrets, the firm. In inverted commas, all exposed for us. They're underbelly exposed so we can see exactly what goes on behind the curtains. Obviously, Harry's got a book coming out. I think it's on the 8th of this month. I will not be reading it. I'm not giving him the 20 or 40 quid to buy his book. I'm sure somebody will plagiarise it at some point and I'll read it. But isn't it interesting that for centuries, and even in the last few decades, how the royal family, you know, the establishment, the head of the church, the head of the government, everyone just kind of like genuflex, bows. I mean, I was lucky enough to meet the Queen, we had a good little chat with the Queen a few years ago. But when you look at the whole thing and you think, they've got this lifestyle and then you've got the government and how all that goes, and we'll come to that in a second. And now Prince Harry's going to like lift up the kimono and show us what it's really like, as in it's sordid. It's corrupt, it's political, it's biased, it's petty. Wow, there's a lot coming out from this guy who had an inside seat within the tent. But what it does, though, it makes me think, well, if he's prepared to do that and shows what it's really like behind the yes, thank you, what's it really like behind the government? What's it really like being an MP? What's it really like being an MSP in Scotland? What's it like in all these committees, FBI, CIA, MI5, MI6, SES, the whole lot? What does it all actually mean? And when you start to question all these things and say, well, let me not accept the uncritical truths that I was brought up to accept, and let me start to ask hard questions. And that's possibly where our journalists and our media ain't doing it. So yesterday, Rishi Sunak was on TV talking about his five pledges. By the way, Rishi Sunak is the unelected British Prime Minister. He's unelected. I didn't vote for him, neither did you. And who did we have? So we had David Cameron, and then we had What's-Her-Face, that's right, that woman. Then we had, who did we have after that? Oh, Boris Johnson, yeah. So Boris Johnson has danced away into, he's danced away into the night making millions. And people are still saying, bring him back, he knows how to make a speech. What? How about put him in jail for selling his Brexit? And it's been a load of nonsense. Again, it was all spun by media and spun by the spin doctors. This is good for you. Remember the big bus? $374 million a week we're going to get back from Europe. It ain't happened yet. And then we had, who do we have? Oh, yes, Liz Truss. I didn't vote for her. I heard you. And now we've got Rishi Sunak, who is really struggling. He's struggling to come across as credible as a prime minister, because he talks as if he's telling you a bedside story. And he's telling you a bedside story with white gloves on, because he doesn't want to get dirty while he does it, because he's so posh and so loaded. And I think the media are beginning to go, this isn't what we want. We need more than this. There's no substance. There's the style and the substance. There's a non sequitur between them. It's not working. And you just look at the whole thing and you go, oh, this isn't right. And I wonder, here's my first prediction, folks, based on challenging uncritical truths. I think we're going to see a general election in 2023. I think you're going to see, I don't think that we can wait. I don't think people can wait. I think they've had enough of them. And where the economy is going, and if you're a business, I take my hat off to you if you're an entrepreneur, if you're starting a business or you're running a business, regardless of the size, I take my hat off to you, because what you've had to put up with the pandemic and all the nonsense around social distancing and masks and all that. And God, remember that? They'll probably try and bring that back. And then electricity, you know, with what's going on with the war in Ukraine and energy prices. And then, of course, this government have come out and said, I think we're going to stop all these subsidies for businesses in March. I mean, I don't know how you run a bar. I don't know how you run a restaurant. I don't know how you run businesses where you've measured your fixed costs and you've tried to keep those within a realm and within a sphere on your spreadsheet. And it's just getting blown up every 6 months for you. So is that the government you want? Is that the government you deserve? Interest rates up. Money printer will go on when it suits them and not when it suits us. And this is our lives. We're leading our lives right now. But they're trying to put all these different things on us for generations in the future. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, I think where we are right now is a really critical moment as we start 2023. And it brings me back to the monetary system. First of all, you've got, now think this through, you've got Rishi Sunak standing up there giving it, I'm going to stop these people coming in boats. You've had years to do it. All of a sudden, I'm going to stop people coming in boats because that'll get me some votes. Because a lot of the anti-Westerners, they don't want all these people. We don't know who they are, and I'm not making judgments whether they're bona fide or not. But he's playing to that audience. Then cost of living crisis. We need to fix that. What were you doing all Christmas? Where were you? You're the absent prime minister, and you come out with this litany of nonsense that we've to believe. But then, on the other hand, be careful what you wish for. You've got Keir Starmer, Mr. Personality, who's on the other side, who's promising a decade of growth and generational prosperity. What rabbit hat is he going to pull that out of? Because essentially that's what he's going to do. How come if Rishi Sunak's in power, right, and he'll have lots of special advisors and economists and the Bank of England guy on the phone, on speed dial, whenever he needs it, and he can't fix it, but Labour are going to come in and fix the big mess? I don't know how you do that. The only way to do that is either tax the shit out of us even more or print more money. I've got no concept. If anyone can tell me, I'll go on the BBC, I'll go on Sky News, I'll go on the Kaiser Report, anything. I'll go on anything and I'll debate it with anyone. If you can tell me, any business journalist, economics journalist, any member of parliament, member of the Scottish Parliament who can actually explain to me, regardless of what political party they're in, how they're going to fix this fiat currency mess from that started in 1971 when we came off the gold standard. How are you going to fix this? Tell me. And be ready to be questioned, not by journalists who ask these highfalutin, what do you think about this and that, who are just looking for a soundbite. No one actually calls them out and says, no, I think you're lying, or I think you've made that up, or that story should begin with, once upon a time, Mr. Sunak. And that's part of the problem. So it brings me back to my initial conversation. The media are not doing enough in this country. They're actually being disingenuous. They're not doing enough. It's okay to attack people like me, nobody's, or to attack people like George Galloway or Majid Nawaz who are calling stuff out. But the whole political and media machine is, it's just wrong. But we know that, because if you look at who owns newspapers, if you look at who owns media stations, they go to the same parties as them. They meet them in the private yachts in St. Kitts at this time of the year. Well, you and I suffer from increasing fuel bills. Think all that through for a moment and allow that to ponder in your head and cogitate and work out why you are so discombobulated in our lives right now. And then let's bring that back to Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin is the soundest money there is. It's the most honest money there is. Now, let me just reference where we are in this narrative. What happens is the media are fueled by the Sam Bankman-Fried fraud, right? Because he's been charged with fraud, and he's pled not guilty. So big guy owns FTX. Billions of dollars, your money going through it, commingles it, rips it off, pays politicians, pays sports stars, all the rest of it. You mean, you've seen this, and it's just a big Ponzi scheme. And now he's been arrested, and it's going to be the trial of the century, as if he makes it, okay? Because he's got a lot of stuff that he wants to tell people. I'm not surprised if he didn't tape record a lot of conversations as well. So that's fraudulent. Celsius, Alex Mazinski. Fraudulent, right? These are all frauds. These are all have been perpetrated in the crypto world. And there was a time when I was part of that, and I realised all that. I didn't realise it. It took Greg Foss and Lawrence Lepar to say, guys, that's all nonsense. It took Corey Klipstein, who I had a really frank conversation with over a Zoom call. It wasn't a pleasant conversation, but he called me out. Corey Klipstein said to me, mate, what's with all the shit going on today? And he, that's what made Jordan and I go away and think things through, these people. And that whole side of crypto is the side that the politicians want to talk about. That's the side that the media want to talk about. It's interesting, right? Bad people stealing money. Of course, they love all that. If it's not the politician with the hand in the till, it's the business person who's created something and is ripping people off. Crikey, I heard recently about the local butcher here. Someone ran away with all the money. So it happens at all levels. It's human frailty. But you cannot conflate that human frailty and what's going on there with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not run by, now get this right, Bitcoin is not run on a daily basis by humans. What it has is it has its Bitcoin core developers who are working on the Bitcoin network within the protocol and the consensus that is there. They don't wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll add this to it today, Betty. They don't. That's not how it works. That's how it works in government, when Rishi Sunak can come out and say, I will fix these things. Meanwhile, the NHS in Scotland, three or four of the NHS trusts have been on the critical, basically saying, help, we're putting our hands up, help. People are going to die. Patient care has been awful. And it's not as if you go over the Christmas and the New Year period and you think, oh, I'll just all get back to normal. It won't. This is going to take years to fix and a lot of money. So Bitcoin's ticking away and the governments are terrified of it. Don't make any mistake, folks. They understand Bitcoin. Do you not think for a minute Senator Warren in America, Senator Ted Cruz in America, John Swinney in Scotland, Rishi Sunak, do you not think for a minute they know they've been briefed and they're trying to work out via the banks because they have meetings with top bankers and they'll be saying, well, here's how we should play this, or here's how this is a threat to the system, or here's how we could actually take it away from the Bitcoiners and make it an investment grade product, or here's how we can make sure nobody buys it. All right. So they know, they understand it. They're just trying to work out, because they can't kill it off totally, because we'll all just move to El Salvador or wherever it is, and I'll come back to that. They're trying to work out how to sort of nudge it along in such a way where they can have some form of ownership, some form of charge, some form of custody over it. And that's the danger. But just now they haven't been able to do that. But I wouldn't put it past them that one day. I wouldn't put it past one day that somebody knocks on my door and pulls me out at 5 o'clock in the morning and says, you did this, you enemy of the state. I just hope the prison cell is warm, right? And I want my walnuts and blueberries in the morning, right? I'm just putting that out there right now. So here's another one that again has come to light, and it just shows you where we've been manipulated and used. Anthony Pompliano, the Pomp. Anthony Pompliano. He's well known within the Bitcoin and the crypto community. I met him. I did a video with him down in Texas. And he's quite a cold fish. He turns it on and off. He's all about the money. I mean, Anthony Pompliano takes no prisoners when it comes to the money. And over the last 3 or 4 years, he's built a fantastic presence online. Brought his brothers into it. He was doing all sorts of programs, and he was on CNBC, and he was a commentator, etc., etc. And then he gets stung with FTX. And then what he's done this week is he's looked at, the same as Jordan and I looked at, some of the sponsors that we had and said, well, should we continue with these sponsors? Is this the right thing to do? After speaking to Greg Foss and Lawrence Lepard. And he's feeling remorse, is Mr. Pompliano. And he's basically said, I'm taking all these sponsors away. It's the wrong thing. I've been misled. I've been misdirected. I'm wrong. How do we know the sponsors just haven't pulled the plug on him? Either way, he's coming full circle back round to Bitcoin, I believe. The same as many of us have. It's just a good thing. I don't wish Anthony Pompliano any harm. And I hope that he comes back to the basics of Bitcoin. And here's the test for us all. The test for anyone who's in media or who's podcasting or YouTubing, whatever you want to say. The test for it all is, if and when there's another bull market or Bitcoin does what I believe it will do, not financial advice, get a financial advisor, then lots of people will come out the woodwork again. Exchanges will have more money to sponsor again. And at that time, it'll be interesting to watch who takes that money and who runs with it, or who says, remember what I said I was going to do in the bear market? I wasn't going to take dirty exchange money. I wasn't going to shill this coin or shill that coin or interview this specific person because they're paying me to do it, BitBoy. And just see who actually stays true to Bitcoin, true to sound money, and true to creating a better world and a better macroeconomic picture as a result of getting rid of boom and bust politics. So, moving it on, there's a one country that appears to be, just now, staying true and on course. Tracking north, Miss Tessmacher. And that is El Salvador. Now, my understanding that is that within the next 6 months or so, the volcano bonds, now these are bonds that El Salvador's put up to say, come and invest in El Salvador, we'll give you X rate of return. We're going to use those bonds, I think half of them are going to buy Bitcoin with, and the other half are going to develop this Bitcoin city and an economy based on Bitcoin. It's a massive experiment. And you've got Max Kaiser, you've got El Zonte Capital with Corey Klipstein down there, all very commercial. Don't think for a minute people are doing this for the good of their health. It's to make money and promote Bitcoin. And that's totally fine if you're putting the energy and the time into that and the focus. And that's what entrepreneurs do. And the external money, and it's billions, will go into El Salvador. And that will increase the growth of their economy and the work. And it means that people won't leave El Salvador for work or leave El Salvador for the crime rate, because that's been dealt with, because the President Bukele has locked up all the baddies. If you've got big gang tattoos, you're locked up right now. It's not a good place to be. If I was you, I would try and find religion and get out of there. So in that experiment, there's a lot of money, but there's also a lot of media interest. And right now it's like, oh, El Salvador hasn't worked. It's only a year old. You need to give it some time. Give it 5 years. We've had Brexit in the UK for the last 4 years and it hasn't worked. But it's almost so easy to point the finger at a smaller country and say, look at that experiment. Well, our experiment in the UK is a disaster. But hey, you know, the media are in bed with politicians here. That's going to be an interesting one to watch in 2023, El Salvador. Does President Bukele maintain his ratings, his popularity ratings? Does he stay true in terms of Bitcoin? Does he run away with the money? I don't know where he would run away to. I'm pretty sure from what I can see that they're going to try and set this up right and do it in a different way. And wouldn't it be interesting if a country like Scotland, which is similar to El Salvador in that El Salvador is pretty shitty, and so is Scotland, pretty shitty. Of course, the Scottish won't want to say that, and the SNP will say, well, life's really good, look. There's things happening. It's a mess. It's a total mess. And people kind of know that. And the problem is we're waiting for our politicians here to fix it. Let's fix it. I'll fix it in a second. What you do is, you see, we are halving the MSP's salary from 80 grand or whatever it is to 30. We're going to bring it down to 35,000. You can get paid the same as a nurse, and then you can feel the pain of what it's like being a nurse or a police officer or a firefighter. That's the first thing you do. And then we'll see who wants to be an MSP. Woohoo! Anyway, in terms of economies, they're similar. Or they were. You watch El Salvador in the next 5 years versus Scotland in the next 5 years. That's going to be a really interesting one if you were to timestamp this video right now and find out which one made it, which one didn't. Which one wants to stay with the European Union, who, by the way, are so socialist. They basically want to, they don't want you to spend your money the way you want to spend it. They want to dictate how you do it. They want to have, it's a surveillance society, 1984 Orwellian nightmare is what Europe is becoming. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't want to be part of it. I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy that Brexit kind of hasn't worked at the moment, but I don't want to be part of that and a slave to the European Central Bank. Isn't it going to be interesting at the end of 23 to see where El Salvador is and Scotland is? What a debate. Let's have that debate. I'll go on the TV with anyone and give it a right good go. Here's the next thing I want to just kind of finish off with. People talk about Bitcoin. They talk about sound money. And they talk about, will it ever go? Will it become a top five currency or a top 10 currency? It currently is. Bitcoin is in the top 10 currencies in the world in terms of adoption and usage right now. It is, but you don't hear that. My question is, what does orange pill mean to you? Orange pilling someone. So I've spent the last year probably with Jordan, and we're doing this podcast, and the amount of people that listen to it is fantastic. Thank you for all your lovely comments. This year, I'm going to create the Orange Pill Pilot YouTube channel, which I think will be quite special as well. But what does orange pilling mean to you? And they talk about, you know, people will get Bitcoin at the price they deserve, as in it'll come across their radar, they'll wake up. But I like to be proactive about things. And what does that actually mean? So if you were to think about how you understand your journey into being orange pilled, or how you orange pill people, or even what the hell is he talking about when he talks about orange pill, how are you going to find out more? What's your strategy? How do you do that? So if you're a doctor working day to day with patients, what does orange pill mean to them? What does it mean to you? Does it mean a better health service? If it's a fairer health service, a better financed and ethically sound health service, not governed by big pharma and how much the government's going to pay, depending on where they are in the election cycle. What happens if you're driving an Uber, you're an Uber driver? How does orange pill affect you? Fuel prices, electric cars, where's it going? What happens if you work for local government? If you're a care worker? Excuse me. I think that's my long COVID cough. Of course, I wasn't supposed to get COVID because I've had two injections. Is that not what they said? Or was it just I wasn't going to die because I had the injections? Oh no, Jim's becoming all conspiracy theorist. You're a care worker and you're cleaning up and helping people. What does orange pill mean to you? Because ultimately, you do what you're told. You pay your taxes and they're getting higher and higher. They ain't going to get lower. Taxes never get lower. They play about with a penny in the pound. They're getting higher over the next 2 or 3 years. That's fact. Interest rates. Can you afford that mortgage that you wanted? What about the lease and the flat that you're in? It's when you start to think about all these things and you think there's got to be a better way. That's when the orange pill comes in. And that's when you Google Bitcoin. That's when you buy a book on Bitcoin. That's when you listen to a podcast on Bitcoin and you start to question things. And it's when we as human beings start to question, coming back to what I said, the uncritical truths about the royal family and government and banks. When people take action, then these institutions and the ways of life that we have and the shackles that we work under can change. I believe right now that we are in the throes of the fourth turning and the Great Reset. I'm now convinced of that. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. And while I was listening to podcasts 2 years ago talking about it, it's actually happening right now. And it's going to be really interesting to find out in 2023 how the World Economic Forum and our government, led by unelected Rishi Sunak, is going to bring all that to bear. Watch the European Union. Watch how it's going to treat who's in power there. And then we come back to my little country, Scotland. Where's it going? So if you keep an eye on all these different spinning plates and then just question which plate is going to fall first, or who's spinning that plate there, spinning really hard. Lots of people are spinning that plate. That's the one that they want to win. So just think of all these different things as plates spinning around. Some are going to fall because it suits them to fall, and others will fall because that's the ones that they will buttress to support for their interests. However, here's my second prediction for 2023, folks. Bum, 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 bum. I believe that one country or one major economy is going to go massively burst. Could be a massive bank. I don't think it'll be a pension fund. We've been down that route. Something's going to go pop, and it's going to have another ramification for the Western world. The dollar's getting stronger. It's battering the hell out of the South American and the African economies. They can't sustain that forever. That's my second prediction. And as a result of that, people will start to think more about orange pill, and people will start to think more about the world they live in. I mean, think about it. When you were a little boy or a little girl, is this what you wanted? And if you were born in the 70s, or the 60s, the 70s, or the 80s, is this the way it was supposed to be? Things were supposed to be fixed by now. But all we do is every 4 or 5 years is a new political cycle. And if you look at all the prime ministers and all the chancellors that all were in those roles and did this and did that to us and sold the gold or increased this tax and that or did away with child maintenance, whatever it is, they're sitting pretty. They're not struggling. They're doing really well. It's time for you to do really well. So I'm going to say, go out there, find your orange pill. Find your orange pill. How do I find out more about macroeconomics and the world that I'm living in right now, wherever I am in the United Kingdom? Take action. Find out more. And then chat it through with other people. And by raising our awareness of the situation that we are in, that's when you wake up to what's going on. Anyway, I just thought I'd think about... yeah, it's my long COVID again. I think I'll make 2023. Think about where you are. Think about the world that you're living in right now. Think about your development in terms of your finances, your house, your flat, your car, your job, your savings, any investments we have. Where's it all going? And then think about Bitcoin. Think if it was a Bitcoin standard, if there was a way to incorporate Bitcoin in a fairer way, would it? Here's a cracker for you. Would you move to a Bitcoin country? I don't know. I don't know the answer to a lot of these questions. But over the next 12 months, I'm going to be going out and orange pilling people. But not in a very blatant, you need to buy Bitcoin or you're doomed and you're going to die. I just want to raise the macroeconomic awareness of it in people and in institutions. And I think I'm going to do that. I know Jordan's going to do that. Do you know what? Do you need conferences? I don't know. I just think you need ordinary people telling ordinary stories. That's what I'm going to do. And ultimately, you want to leave your mark on this earth in some way, and that's how I'm going to leave my mark in 2023. So I wish you a great 2023. I wish Sam Bankman-Fried as much jail time as possible, and I hope he spills the beans in the whole lot of them. I hope that Anthony Pompliano sticks with what he's doing, remains remorseful, and gets back to Bitcoin basics. I hope that the volcano bonds in El Salvador do well, they're oversubscribed, and it becomes a beacon for the world to look at how an economy can do it in a different way. I hope that Rishi Sunak, I hope he achieves his 5 pledges. I don't think he will. I don't think he'll be Prime Minister by the end of this year. And I hope that you all go on an orange pill journey where you just look at the world that we're living in and think, 20 years ago, has it gotten any better? And with this current political and financial system, will it be any better in the next 20 years? I'm going to say the answer to that is no. So I'll leave you with that thought. I wish you happy 2023. And Jordan, I hope you feel better soon. He's got a terrible temperature. That's it from us. Not financial advice. Go get a financial advisor who will put your money into stocks and bonds in the system, if that's what you want to do. Good luck, folks, and I wish you a happy new year and happy health to you and your families.